step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
From border to border, across the Commonwealth of Kentucky, this is Big Blue Insider. Talk to Dick Gabriel. Call 859-280-CATS. That's 859-280-2287. Or statewide at 1-800-606-GAME. That's 1-800-606-4263. Or you can tweet the show at Big Blue Insider 1. Now, here's Dick Gabriel.
Hello, everybody, from the facilities of the iHeartMedia Megaplex. This is Dick Gabriel. This is the statewide edition of the Big Blue Insider. You've heard comments from John Calipari and Chin Coleman, and now's your chance to be heard at 280-2287. Tweet us at Big Blue Insider 1. Tonight, as always, Derek Terry of the Cat's Paws and Big Blue Drew Brown will join us as well. Billy Rutledge alongside, be a part of the statewide edition of the BBI.
Got bugs in your house? Call IPM. This is Matt Schaefer with IPM Pest and Termite. For over 20 years, IPM Pest and Termite has been servicing homes and businesses. Ants, spiders, crickets, termites, moles, and mosquito services. Mention this ad and receive a discount on your pest maintenance service. You can always find out more by going to myipm.com. Call us at 271-8852.
A lot has changed in our 35 years at the Boot Store, but what hasn't changed is our commitment to having a huge selection of quality name brand boots, Western wear, and accessories. And as always, we strive to give you the best fit possible at a fair, competitive price. Whether you need boots for a day on the job or a night on the town, do your feet a favor and come and see us at the Boot Store. We're just a few minutes south of Fayette Mall on Nicholasville Road.
Get your boots at the Boot Store.
Shamrock Bar and Grill on Pageant Drive has always been your home for good food, great times, cold beer, and the biggest games on TV. But did you know you can bring that world-famous Shamrock atmosphere to your home? Shamrock's is now delivering food, growlers, and six-packs to your door. Find our full menu at shamrocksky.com or call our Pageant Drive location at 269-7621. Call them up tonight for delivery. You can also have Shamrock's food delivered by Uber Eats.
Hey guys, game's on!
Whether you're cheering on the Wildcats from the stands or from your den,
go Cats!
Dude, you spilled the nachos.
Kentucky Utilities is there with you, delivering safe and reliable energy you can count on. But power isn't the only thing we provide. With KU, you can take advantage of convenient, time-saving services like our online outage map, paperless billing, and auto pay. So while the Cats' energies go to serving up wins, at KU, our energies go to serving you.
I'm Barney Miller. How does this sound? Getting ready to entertain? Push a button on the wall. Your lights adjust. Shades go down. TV displays artwork and your favorite music plays throughout your home, even out back. How much time would it take you to complete all that without automation? Stop by our showroom for a tech tour. Let us make your life easier. Barney Miller's. Free parking at our back door. It costs less to do it right the first time.
The same great food you're accustomed to can now arrive at your door. The Cellar Bar and Grill on Lansdowne Drive in the Signature Club is open for delivery and Uber Eats. Check out our full menu online at cellargrill.com. That's cellargrill with an E.com. You can also follow The Cellar on social media or call us at 317-8301. From The Cellar Bar and Grill to your door tonight. Call 317-8301 now for The Cellar Bar and Grill delivery.
Border to border, it is the Big Blue Insider, Dick Gabriel, Billy Rutledge. It is welcome, in, as we always do, on the statewide show. Mr. Derek Terry of the Cat's Paws, how are you, sir?
Doing well. How are you?
We are well. Thank you so much. And, of course, you covered last night's game remotely, as we always, it seems like we all have to do now, as the Wildcats beat Vanderbilt. What do we make of this win, Derek? We know Vandy is not one of the top contenders in the SEC, but before Calipari started to empty his bench, Wildcats look pretty good. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's a place that even in years where Vanderbilt wasn't all that great, Kentucky's had a hard time playing down there at times. And to have, I think, a 28-point lead there late in the game yesterday, really good sign. I thought the guard play, they seemed very comfortable with Ty back there. I mean, that was the second game as playing the main point guard role. And, I mean, I don't know what else we can say about Oscar. That's not already been said. But, no, that was a good game. I mean, Vanderbilt still probably not going to be a tournament team this year, but they are improved by any metric you look at. KenPom, I think they're in the top 80 now. Maybe seven, I think they might have been top 75 at one point. They had a road win this year at Arkansas, who is not a great team, but still Arkansas is a program that was just in the Elite Eight last season. So I think Jerry Stackhouse is doing some good things down there. And for Kentucky to really dominate the way it did without Xavier Wheeler, I mean, I think you can – again, I think you see this team rounded into form. We'll never know what would have happened down in Baton Rouge had Xavier not gotten injured. Yeah. But I think overall you got to feel pretty good about where this team is.
Well, and to Vandy's credit, I do believe Scottie Pippen Jr. is the best player in the league. He was picked that way by the preseason media. I don't know if you voted on that, but that kid is special, isn't he?
Yeah, and he has to take a lot of shots for those guys, but he was efficient. I think he went, 11 for 18 last night, and he had six threes. I mean, it's not like he was just, off and just kept throwing up shots. I mean, he pretty much got his, but that's the problem for a team like Vanderbilt. Kentucky could allow a kid like that to get 30 points, and he really don't even blink just because of, they don't really have too many other options that scare you. And then, of course, Kentucky was playing so well. Really up until those final 6 minutes when they didn't score, which was something, I guess. But, I mean, Kentucky was up by so many points that I don't know what you even make of something like that in a game. I can't remember a game where it's got to be pretty rare that a team would go the final 6 minutes of a game without scoring and outscored 16-0 and still win by 12 points.
Yeah, and it really, like I said, it wasn't the guys who – broke out to that lead. I think that's what you have to keep reminding yourself. He started. Now, this doesn't mean you can overlook it because Calipari put in guys he's going to have to count on, and they did not come through for him, did they?
No, Damian Collins, I think he's having a hard time right now. Cal put him in. I can't remember when he subbed him in exactly, but he ended up having to bring Oscar back in.
Yeah.
They're late in the second half, and I don't think it's that unexpected. We're talking about a guy who did have a high ranking. He was a top 15 player in high school, but he played at a tiny Texas high school. And he did. He played on the EYBL and all those things. But we knew physically he was going to have an adjustment coming to play college ball. And then I just think the overall the talent that he's having to face now, I mean, I don't think it's that surprising. And this year, too, he's playing behind a guy that is having a – player of the year type season, and Oscar Sheboy. So, I mean, Oscar's going to play over 30 minutes per game regardless. Yeah. So, and then you have guys like Keon Brooks and Jacob Toppin who do pretty well and are higher options off the Toppin is obviously he's going to be in the game before Collins ever is. So there's just not a ton of minutes anyway for Collins to get. But Bryce Hopkins, he played 15 minutes last night. I think I would be interested more so in seeing – him play a little bit at the four, play with those three guards and have Hopkins there.
Yeah.
But again, with the way Keon and the way the Toppin, the way those guys are going, I can understand why, but it's pretty clear he wants to get Hopkins some minutes and those minutes are all coming at the three. But he was someone he seems a little ahead of himself sometimes. He kind of turns it over. I think two straight games as soon as he's gotten in, he's turned the ball over immediately. But he looks to me like a guy, if he sticks with it long-term, I think he could be a pretty good piece to this program.
Derek, I feel like there's been a couple positives that have arisen as Kentucky's played without Xavier. One, Davion Mintz has really found himself. He's been playing better over the last couple days. And also Ty Washington. Is there any threat that Ty could take over that number one position for good?
Well, I think, you know, with Ty and Mintz and Kellen all out there, I mean, you got three guys. I mean, it's obvious with Sevier for all the good things he does. I mean, he's not a scorer from outside. He's proven that over the course of his career. He's not just only going to become a good three-point shooter. He's never proven that. There's two straight years where he's been fairly bad, flat out, just bad from three. So you do get a little bit better shooting. And then Keon last night stepped out there and hit a three. He's not taking a ton, but I think you've at least got to respect it somewhat. And he's pretty good with his mid-range jumper. So you have kind of four guys when Tata's out there, you can spread out more. And even Oscar, he's taking a lot of free throw jumpers, shots from the elbow. With Sevier, though, I mean, you kind of get that hustle. I think defensively he brings a lot to you. And then, you know, I still think he's got very good vision. But that is an interesting kind of decision to make. Because on one hand, you know, you play two of the teams in your league. Georgia's probably going to finish last. And Vanderbilt, I don't know where Vanderbilt's going to finish, but I doubt in the top half. So, right. I mean, you know, two of the lesser teams, I guess you would say. And he's played well, but how does he handle a team like Tennessee? It sounds like Sevier might be back by Saturday. So I don't know. I mean, it seems like the guys are starting to get a little bit more comfortable in their roles. But my guess would be that he starts Sevier as soon as he's healthy, and they kind of go back to what they were doing. But I think it's good to know that Ty in that role can do some good things for you. I mean, he obviously set the record. I don't think we talked about it because it was on Saturday, but setting the assist record in his first game as a starting point guard is pretty remarkable.
Ty kind of puts him in a different gear, doesn't he? I mean, it's a different kind of a different pace or a different style of play.
He does. I mean, Sevier, it's very he pushes it and they get out and run probably a little bit more, but Ty's kind of pace and control of the game and just his overall feel for a freshman, it's pretty impressive.
Yes.
I think he ended up with maybe three turnovers last night. And I don't even remember how many of those were on him or what even happened on those. But I can remember, you know, in the Georgia game, just kind of having that feeling like he controls the offense very well. But I still like Ty off the ball, though. He's done so many good things that it's kind of a luxury to have in some ways. You know, if you need him to slide over and play the one. And again, I would like to see him against – we saw him against LSU, but it wasn't – it was where he was thrown in there because Sevier went out, and then, of course, he had the cramp. So I would be curious to see how he handles it against a team as good as Tennessee defensively this Saturday. If he's the lead point guard for the whole game, how does he look? Then I think you need Sevier back out there, but I understand the advantages, especially offensively in terms of shot-making ability with those with the backcourt of Ty, Grady, and Mintz.
Derek, one of the players you mentioned that played well in the last game is Keon Brooks. Just played with a lot of energy. He was aggressive. He was flying in there for rebounds. But he's also been pretty inconsistent. What is a good Keon Brooks game and what is a bad one? Do you feel like you know when you see it with him?
Yeah, I think you always know pretty early with Keon. I mean, I think he finished, what, nine points last night, maybe six rebounds, something like that. I can't remember how many rebounds he had. But I think a good thing you could say is it seems like this season, from what I recall, either Toppin played well or Keon played well. I don't think they've really gotten any duds for the most part out of that four spot, which is good that if someone's having an off night, a guy like Toppin can kind of, like at LSU, you could tell that it wasn't really going to be Keon tonight, but Toppin came in and played one of the best games of his career. And then against Georgia, they both started, but Keon played a little bit better that game, and he played better last night, I thought. Not that Toppin played bad. But I just think with Keon, you know, you would like to see some more consistency, I guess, just because he's been here for 3 years. But a guy who can get right around 10 points, fight for rebounds, I thought he was one of those guys, maybe the high point game, which I watched on stream because I was in Orlando. I think it was that game. You know, he was really fighting for rebounds because – Oscar had been getting all of them, and, you know, I think Cal wanted some other guys to step up and get some more boards, and, you know, he was going after it. He's very athletic. I mean, Toppin is as well. Toppin's probably even more athletic. But I still think Keon's a really important piece of this team. And but I do think, though, at this point, even going back to last year, which Keon had some, you know, he was out for a lot of last season for about the first half – I just think they're so interchangeable there, and the fact that if one's not really playing that well, the other guy kind of has that ability to step in. I think it's a pretty good sign for this team. So I don't get hung up too much on, you know, because I just don't think at this point in his career you're going to see Keon just take over and kind of become a, I don't know, he's always going to be probably a number three or four option in this offense.
Well, I was about to say, if there comes a point where you see Keon looking as though he thinks, look, I got to take over this game. With all due respect to Keon, I think something's wrong. I mean, don't you? Not that it's not a slight on him, but I'm with you. If Kentucky needs Keon to carry them at all, then either people are hurt or in foul trouble or both, which is what we saw to a degree at LSU.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's just a solid role player. I mean, he'll have his game, and he's shown it in the past, like Tennessee last year, where he can kind of go off, score over 20 points if you need him to. But on this team, he's probably going to finish, what, third or fourth as the leading scorer?
Yeah.
Behind Oscar and Sheboy and probably Kellen. And, you know, he might have a chance there to finish four. I don't know how many. I don't even know. I've not looked at the stat sheet in a little bit. I don't even know. I just know Oscar and Ty Tyre at the top. But, you know, I still – that's why I think it's tough this year for Hopkins, because Hopkins is someone I think would probably do pretty well that role. But
yeah.
Whenever you have two upperclassmen like Toppin and Keon, and neither one of those guys have been playing poorly, it's just kind of hard to fit him in there if you're going to have that. And, you know, I'll be curious. It seems like Calvin keep trying to get him minutes. So I'll be curious if he'll expand that rotation to 7 or 8, because, I mean, you can bank. If Wheeler's starting when he comes back, you can just bank on Toppin and Mintz being those two guys off the bench. But is there a spot for Hopkins to get regular minutes? That, I think, is still trying to be decided.
Well, Derek, the conference slate really gets started here, and if we're just looking at the next three Saturday games, Kentucky's got some tough matchups. They got a home game versus Tennessee, a road game at Auburn, and also a game versus Kansas. What is it do you think that this team needs to improve on the most if they want to win those three games?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I think they're doing pretty well right now. You know, you got to keep hitting the outside shot for sure. Whenever you're playing that scoring lineup, I mean, those guys have been really good. But, again, it's not been against great teams. You would expect them to fare well against Georgia and against Vanderbilt. But I'd say the keys, I mean, Oscar has proven to you how valuable he is. He's got to stay out of foul trouble just because that backup spot, I mean, the five, if you're having to depend on Ware or Collins in some of these games against the best teams on your schedule, I think it's going to be tough. So that puts a lot of pressure on Oscar, but when he's out there, I feel like you're going to have a chance against almost everybody you play down in the post. But Grady, I'd like to get some more shots. I mean, he's shown you whenever he can get going how good he is. You know, I still wish he would hunt for shots a little bit more. Some games he's better at that than others, but Mintz keep playing his role well. If it's off the bench or if it's as a starter, I mean, his value is going to be hitting threes, I think, and playing good defense and creating. So, but to me, I think Sheboy is probably the big key, because if you're having to play extended, you know, periods of time with him on the bench, I just don't know if they have the makeup against these teams that are big and physical to really withstand that for a long period of time. And I think you gotta give Sheboy a lot of credit, because that was, from what I remember coming into the preseason, that was one of the big talking points, was how much foul trouble he seemed to find at West Virginia. And I think at Kentucky, he's done a really good job of staying on the floor.
Oh, I agree. And I really thought after the first couple of games, and he talked about it, that he was going to have trouble in that area. But he has spoken to us a little bit about how he's had to learn and how to change the way he plays, you know, going after rebounds, playing defense. I think he's made a lot of improvement, but this brings me to my next question. Did you have much chance to watch any of that Auburn-Alabama game last night? Because when I was done working on the Kentucky-Vandy game, I watched as much of it as I could, and I wondered about the matchups. Those two teams are so much better than Alabama than Vanderbilt and Georgia.
Yeah, I got to watch quite a bit of it, and I mean, first of all, what a great thing for the SEC. I mean, to have basketball, both those programs be as good as they have been the past few years it was great for the league. It was an incredible atmosphere. There were a lot of Auburn fans there. I saw Bruce Pearl say that they were traveling like Kentucky fans, but I mean, that's not that far of a drive, right, for most of those Auburn fans. You're not going too far. I mean, once they start packing out other places, then maybe you can make that comparison.
Right.
But, no, I mean, Auburn with Jabari Smith may be one of the best players in the outside of Ben Carroll, I don't know who else is going to be in the running to be the number one pick in the draft, but that kid looks like he's got everything you need to be a future NBA All-Star. And then you have Walker Kessler, the North Carolina transfer, who didn't have a great night last night, but he's still a big guy, long, who could present some problems. And, you know, Alabama beat Kentucky twice last year, and the way that they play, it can cause some problems. But you are, like going back to Billy's question, I think you're about to learn a lot about this team. And this will be the stretch. And, well, it's different. College basketball, if you just get in the tournament, anything can happen. But I think you will kind of – figure out here in these next few Saturdays just how good is this team? Can they win these games on the road at Auburn, at Kansas? I mean, if they can go in there and pull off some of these victories, and then, of course, Tennessee home on Saturday, that would be a good start. But, I mean, you're definitely about to find out how good this group is. And it's really a great opportunity. I mean, they need some key wins because their resume still at this point. I mean, they're kind of lacking in that area, but – basically, from here on out, I mean, you're going to have plenty of chances to pick up some quad one wins. So I think we'll know probably about 3 weeks from now maybe just how good this group is and how high they could rise in the seeding for the tournament.
Well, Derek, just a couple minutes left. Let me shift you over to football because it's been a newsy week for the football team as well. Mm-hmm. Let's throw Will Levis out the window. We know he's coming back. But over the last week, we've heard a lot of names are coming back. DeAndre Square, Jaquez Jones, Jordan Wright, Chris Rodriguez. Which one of these names, or maybe one I didn't mention, is the biggest addition for Kentucky to keep for next year?
Well, I think, having both your inside linebackers back is big. I think that will be about as deep of any position group on the team. I mean, I feel like Trevin Waltz is probably going to be ready next year to fill in as a starter if he needed to be, and I think he'll still get a chance to compete for that. But, I mean, you've got probably five guys there that are all pretty good players. But, you know, Rodriguez is big, but I like the running back room, but I think it's good to have that kind of guy who's proven to you he can kind of be the bell cow. Offensively, you can turn, give him a lot of carries. He's been durable. But, you know, the guys that they're not getting back to are, I mean, I think losing Derek Rosenthal is obviously a big deal because you're going to have to replace both your starting tackles now and your starting center. And there weren't really a whole lot of guys that they got a lot of reps at left tackle outside of Derek Rosenthal this year. Kenneth Horsey would slot over there. But after the bowl game, you know, and again, he had to shift over there late. I don't know how much he even practiced at tackle leading up to that game. But that's probably the number one worry I think I would say they have for next season now, both those tackle positions, because you can look at every other position on the offense and even the interior of the offensive line. I think you feel pretty good about it. But if you can't protect Levis there on the edges, I mean, it's gonna hurt you, obviously. But defensively, I think it's setting up really nice. I think losing McCall is expected, but you've recruited well at nose guard. Kentucky has, and I think those kids are ready to step in and have a bigger role. So now, I mean, when you're trying to get this portal help, offensive tackle and cornerback, and then maybe a number two wide receiver as well. I think they will add somebody else at wide receiver. But to me, that's not quite as important as making sure you have tackles who are ready to compete next year and then also at least one other cornerback who's probably starter material. So I think the outlook's really good for the team next year, but those are some pretty critical questions that are going to have to be answered.
It's really interesting where the Big Blue Wall has been such a comfort and a security blanket. And now, yeah, they got some work to do, but that's the nature of college football. They come and they go, and they've done a nice job of recruiting, evaluating, and developing talent. So challenges there, and won't be long now before we see how well they meet it. Derek Terry is the beat writer and a columnist for the Cat's Paws, joins us every week. Thank you, sir. We will see you at Rupp Arena.
All right, thanks, guys.
And we are back in just a minute. It's the statewide edition of the Big Blue Insider.
iHeartRadio Earth knows small changes can make a big difference. Want to reduce your food waste? Embrace your freezer. From bread to meat and even cheese, most foods can be frozen and cooked later. Plus, a full freezer uses less electricity. Brought to you by iHeartRadio Earth and the National Environmental Education Foundation. To find more tips for smarter, sustainable living, or to take action in your own community, go to iHeartRadio.com/Earth.
Today, we're talking to Julio Urquiza about Connect. That's K-Y-N-E-C-T. Connect is run by the state, and as its name indicates, it connects Kentuckians with healthcare coverage and other benefits. Julio, if someone is on the Connect website, what should they be looking for when selecting a plan?
I recommend that people look for three things. Are your preferred doctors on the insurance plan you're considering, as well as your local healthcare facilities and your prescription medications?
What type of insurance can Kentuckians find?
Some is through the open marketplace through a familiar insurance company. Some people will also qualify for no-cost plans, such as Medicaid. Keeping Kentuckians healthy is important, and it starts with getting covered.
Find out more at connect.ky.gov. That's K-Y-N-E-C-T.ky.gov.
Prescription products require completion of an online consultation with an independent healthcare provider and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. See website for more details and safety information.
Should Viagra really cost $90 per pill? We don't think so. RexMD has FDA-approved generic Viagra medication of that little blue pill starting at just $2. Why pay huge pharmacy prices when you can get the same results for a fraction of the cost? Give your bank account a break. Just fill out a brief survey, and if appropriate, you'll get a starter pack prescription of industry-leading generic Viagra medication. Just call 800-733-8147. We've helped over 100,000 men with their sex lives and with getting prescription medications direct. Your consultation is free, there's no doctor office visits, and your shipping is always free. Get your starter pack now. Call 800-733-8147. That's 800-733-8147. Again, 800-733-8147.
Switch to Spectrum Mobile and get unlimited data for only $29.99 per month each when you get two or more lines. You could save hundreds on your mobile bill. Plus, there are no added taxes, hidden fees, and no contracts. Try the Spectrum Mobile Savings Calculator today, and in three easy steps, you'll see how much you could save. Visit SpectrumMobile.com/save. Offer valid for new customers on two or more unlimited lines. Spectrum Internet required. Restrictions apply. Visit SpectrumMobile.com for details.
Welcome back. We thank Derek Terry for joining us. Coming up in a few minutes, Drew Brown, you know him as Big Blue Drew, will join us on our celebrity hotline, Dick Gabriel, Billy Rutledge. And Billy, you're in the studio, of course, during the games. You can maybe take a peek at the TV. You got Tom and Mike running through your board. And it was a little bit odd last night because it didn't sound like your normal, and it wasn't your normal Kentucky-Vandy game, because the crowd just wasn't the same, was it?
No, it wasn't, Dick. You know, Vandy usually has some sort of home court advantage of times with the way that their benches are laid out, but when they said that no students were allowed, then that really changed the game. And it looked like a lot of BBN picked up some of those extra tickets, because that is what you could hear over the broadcast, was some of the blue-white chants at the end.
Oh, yeah. And I know that they tried a black-gold chant, and then the Kentucky fans drowned them out.
Exactly, yes.
That was fun. I've been to a lot of games, or I've covered a lot of games through the years. I've seen Kentucky blow people out. I've seen Vandy blow Kentucky out. I've seen Rick Pitino ejected. I saw the beginning of a run by Tubby Smith's best team, really, in terms of execution, which was the 03 team that won 26 straight. It didn't start, the 26 straight didn't start there, but the way they did it started at Vandy. So the way, and by that I mean in the second half, they absolutely came back from 8 or 9 down, maybe 10, and just destroyed Vandy. My point is, anything can happen, it seems like. In that gym, it's just, they call it Memorial Magic, and I don't think anybody expected Kentucky to come out last night and knock down almost every shot it took at the beginning. That was unexpected, I thought.
Kentucky was only a 6-point favorite in this game, and they led by 28 points with 6 minutes left. I mean, if it wasn't for that 16-0 run by Vandy, it would be a complete domination on the scoreboard. But a lot of people have been critical of the lineup that led to that run, Dick, and a lot of the taller guys getting in, whether it be Hopkins, Collin, and Toppin all at the same time. Well, what better game is there to get these guys more experience than Vanderbilt? I mean, if you've got the win in touch intact, let these guys get some playing experience. You don't want to be forcing these guys in the lineup at a later date against a tougher team. So let's get these guys in more.
I absolutely agree. This is, you know, I was really pleased, Billy, that Calipari kind of broke servant, you know, broke from what he ordinarily does. He waits too long, in my opinion, before he starts emptying the bench. I thought he tried to give him valuable minutes, and he just, you know, no pun intended, dropped the ball. We'll talk more about that with Big Blue Drew when we come back on the statewide edition of the BBI.
We all know the importance of nutrition and diet for a healthy lifestyle. We also know that dairy foods deliver great nutrition and value. That's reason enough why Kentucky families choose Prairie-owned Prairie Farms dairy products, like our two complete lines of delightful, creamy Prairie Farms yogurt flavors, fat-free or low-fat. Both fit neatly under 100 calories per serving. Farm fresh quality from our family to yours. Farmer owned Prairie Farms.
Attention fleet owners. Your vehicles are a traveling advertisement for your business. Keeping them clean and presentable speaks volumes about your business. With winter on its way, protect your investment with Hydrosphere Services, the only call you need to make to keep your fleet looking top-notch. With Hydrosphere, you're getting the best-in-class power washing service with the best-in-class commercial-grade equipment. Visit HydrosphereServices.com and fill out our online service form or call 219-2200. That's 219-2200.
I had no idea buying a big screen meant everybody comes to my house for game night. And what do they bring? Chips. If it weren't for Boone's Butcher Shop, I'd be broke trying to feed them all. All right, let's see. Should I go for the pick five or get a meat bundle? Maybe one of Boone's freezer baskets. So many options. I'm going for the cookout special bundle. Now over to the deli for some cheese, grab some marinade. I love Boone's Butcher Shop. They've got it all.
Boone's Butcher Shop, top quality meats for less. 100 Old Bloomfield Pike, Bardstown. Online at boonesbutchershop.com.
Shamrock Bar and Grill on Heartland Parkway has always been your home for good food, great times, cold beer, and the biggest games on TV. But did you know you can bring that world-famous Shamrock atmosphere to your home? Shamrock's is now delivering food, growlers, and six-packs to your door. Find our full menu at shamrocksky.com or call their Heartland Parkway location at 245-9504. Call them up tonight for delivery. You can also have Shamrock's food delivered by Uber Eats.
The Livesey Group is a family-owned CPA firm conveniently located on Pasadena Drive near Nicholasville Road in Lexington. They can help with tax preparation for individuals, businesses, trusts, and estates, small business accounting support, including full-service payroll, and outsourced bookkeeping services. All the Livesey Group services include free initial consultation and quotes. Bob and Bobby Livesey are native Lexingtonians. They are Big Blue fans and ready to serve you. The Livesey Group, your one-stop shop for accounting needs. Call 296-1913 or visit Livesey. Group.com.
Hey guys, game's on!
Whether you're cheering on the Wildcats from the stands or from your den,
go Cats!
Dude, you spilled the nachos.
Kentucky Utilities is there with you, delivering safe and reliable energy you can count on. But power isn't the only thing we provide. With KU, you can take advantage of convenient, time-saving services like our online outage map, paperless billing, and auto pay. So while the Cats' energies go to serving up wins, at KU, our energies go to serving you.
Border to Border, it is the Big Blue Insider, Dick Gabriel, Billy Rutledge. Let us welcome, as we always do, at this time of the show, Big Blue Drew on our celebrity hotline, Drew Bryan. How are you, young man?
I'm doing well. Good evening.
How are you feeling about the Wildcats after watching let's subtract the last 6 minutes and call that an exhibition, but the first 34 minutes of last night's game?
Beautiful basketball, you know. If nothing else, I mean, the wins are great, but just kind of watching nice basketball and some of those just offensive spurts they go on has been terrific. And, you know, what a difference a week makes or so. You know, we were talking about LSU not long ago and a sputtering offense and what could be done about that. And now, without the point guard, who I think most people would still agree, you know, is just going to improve things. So lots of positives over these last two games. And And now a big chance to, you know, put those into action, those kind of tune-up games over these next few weeks.
Does John Calipari have a quarterback controversy in your opinion?
No, I don't. You know what I was thinking today? One, I'm very surprised. Not that Ty's played so well, but that we haven't seen a bigger drop-off from the team, because I know several times I've preached to you guys on a Monday or whatever how important I think Xavier Wheeler is to this team and what he does. But tonight I was thinking now how they kind of have the luxury of just two pure different styles. Like Xavier is just downhill, relentless, running 90 feet both ways every time. And you know, we've kind of adopted the, you know, he's a quiet superstar. Tata kind of lulls you to sleep with his efficiency in other ways. So, you know, I think definitely this could be seen as a positive. But Tennessee Saturday, they're going to need Xavier. So if he's ready to go, the ball is going to be in his hands.
Drew, are you numb to Oscar Tshiebwe's greatness yet?
It's substantial, right? What do you even say at this point? I heard Derek kind of allude to that as well. But, I can say this. He showed me something in his bag last night. I mean, what about that steal and that little half step and, you know, leading the break to finish? I didn't know he could do that. So, I mean, it's like during the game you fall in love with him and then you read his comments or you hear what he says after the game and you just double down on all of that. But I will say, I mean, every week we talk about his consistency, but now, I mean, there's just, you're hammering that home, which bodes so well for this team to, you know, try to win three in the SEC tournament or six in the NCAA tournament, because, golly, if you ever knew what you were getting from a player, it's Oscar.
Well, let me throw this out at you. Just playing devil's advocate a bit, but I bounced back and forth between the TV and the radio last night, and I heard Billis in one of the first possessions by Kentucky kind of expressed surprise that Vandy had tried to stop Oscar with one mere mortal. You know what I mean? And he said, if they try to single him all night, Oscar's just going to, I can't remember exactly what he said, but he's just going to essentially dominate, which he did. So that said, Drew, we all know Vandy's not a powerhouse team. You've got Auburn, Tennessee, Alabama straight ahead. How do you think Oscar is going to fare against some of these more athletic SEC teams with bigger and better big men?
Yeah, the front courts you'll see over the next few weeks are going to be better. But, gosh, I mean, let's look at history. We know he's done it against Duke's phenomenal front court. He's done it against a 7'5 player in Western Kentucky. He battled against several bigs against North Carolina. So, again, every time he's faced with a challenge, he answers the bell. And, you know, we might have seen last night had Vandy chose to double team him, we could be sitting here tonight talking about Kellen Grady making 6 3-pointers or something like that. So I've really picked up, and now I fully embrace the fact that this team is extremely unselfish. Like, I truthfully believe that, you know, every player out there wants to make the best play, and they're playing fast too. So that's hard to do those two things at the same time. And the way that they share the ball, I think, but to your point, that could maybe slow them up for one game. If they get, you know, we've seen that with this team, right? They've gotten something new thrown at them. And they've kind of stubbed their toe a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see if teams throw, you know, double teams, or even if Fulkerson or, you know, the big guy from Auburn or whoever gets some trouble. But he always answers the bell.
Ty's a lottery pick, isn't he? I mean, he's only going to be here for 1 year, right?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I don't know that I'm ready to say that. I've talked about this several times, and I'll address, too, the whole quiet superstar. He does it silently. I really think that more equates to he just kind of doesn't dunk on people, right? He just doesn't have those, you know, super jaw-dropping plays like we've seen Kentucky guards have, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, even Jamal Murray. But he's efficient, you know. He can put the ball in the basket, you know, elite. But I think that's kind of where he adopts that quiet superstar name. It's just that I haven't seen that elite athleticism from him, which I don't know. I might have to see a little more before I say lottery pick. But I definitely, with every game, he's looking more and more league ready for sure.
How much do you think he's helping his stock by – running the point, filling in for Xavier?
Yeah, it's great to show that he can do that. And, I mean, he's looked really comfortable. And I think a big part still for him, especially at this stage, is building confidence. I think, you know, especially coming off that first game of the season, it took a little bit. And he's played great. So I think that can only help, you know, from an NBA scouting process to ultimately probably how he's going to finish up this season. And, again, going back to the options now that Calipari has, whether it's, you know, something's going on with Xavier Wheeler, or, you know, they just need a different look and think he'll be better on the, you know, handling the ball. So who knows? We might see this offense even, you know, add some more wrinkles now that we've seen the two primary ball handlers are both effective.
How concerned should Calipari be? I know how concerned the Big Blue Nation is about what happened with the guys he brought in off the bench. We were just talking, Billy and I, about they got quality minutes. They didn't get in, you know, with 90 seconds left and Calipari holding his hands up saying don't do anything. He wanted them to run their stuff, and they really fumbled the opportunity away, I thought.
Yeah, it's funny in a lot of ways, too, because a lot of fans will say, you know, well, this guy needs to get more minutes. That guy needs to get a little more minutes and show what he can do. Right. There's a lot of potential on the bench. But then those guys are out there, whether it's together or not, and, you know, they're not necessarily performing. And you heard Calipari talking. I really liked what he said about, you know, if your desire is to play basketball professionally and you go up to the coach and say, hey, I'm only getting 8 minutes a game, that's why I'm not playing well, that coach is going to look at you, you know, very perplexed. And he's really challenged those guys. And, you know, I'm sure he's talking about Bryce Hopkins and Damian Collins to really get in there and maximize those minutes. So he needs to put them out there more. But it is definitely a double-edged sword because they got to play to get experience to play better. But I'm at the stage now where we've talked about this so long that I'm just not sure what you're going to get from those guys. And maybe it's something from game to game where you're going to need to plug them in. But at this point, are any of – you know, the people that are on the bench going to really come in and become major contributors? I'm just not seeing it.
Kentucky has scored over 90 points this season five different times, Drew. And Coach Cal had an interesting comment tonight. He said that he gets angry when his point guards go back to the rebounder. He wants them to take four extra steps up the court and have the big man or whoever rebounded the ball throw it up to them. It seems like Cal wants to make this team play fast.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's like every season almost, I think. But if you're ever down there close enough where you can hear Cal or even listen on TV, I mean, you're right. Before the ball is even rebounded, he is at the top of his lungs screaming, go! So yeah. Whatever player gets that ball, I mean, they better, you're exactly right, be throwing it up in front of them as fast as they can. And Cal mentioned that tonight, too, going back to what we were just talking about, having multiple primary ball handlers, that, you know, he seems obviously pretty firm and committed that Xavier is going to be that number one option. As far as the point guard goes, but that he might play faster and just he's one dribbling, kicking it up to Ty. So kind of what's really the difference, because ultimately he'll be the one kind of getting in the offense or attacking. So a lot of different options. But I just noticed too, guys, I was writing some stuff tonight. Like I didn't realize how great that Tennessee is defensively. They're like number two rated on Kimball for defense, and LSU was number one. And we saw kind of what happened with that, even down some players. So Saturday is going to be a big challenge. And if they can put up some numbers like you mentioned, Billy, you know, getting over 80 points or so on Saturday will be a really big accomplishment. And I think you're really going to start to see this team is consistently clicking on offense, which they're also a top 10 rated offensive adjusted offense on KenPom now as well.
I keep thinking back, Drew, to preseason media day and other meetings with Calipari when he assured us, the media, that this team would be fast, and he keeps talking about the sprint coach, you know, which is his son, of course, but this was the plan going in to get the ball down the court. And generally, it seems like teams like to do that. It's odd. What I'm saying is it seems odd that he has to remind them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think there's sometimes, especially with inexperienced players that he's had, where they just dribble the ball. You've heard him talk about that season after season. They'll throw the ball to a guy, you know, not because he's selfish or doing anything malicious. He's just, that's the way he's used to playing. You know, he's bouncing the ball and assessing the situation. But at this level, especially when you play at Kentucky, that ball kind of always has to be moving. And again, I talked about it the very first thing. It can be beautiful basketball. And it's been very encouraging to me with this offense just to know they have that spurt ability in them. Yeah. Because, I mean, if we're watching a game in March and they're down 16 or 18 points, they're not out of it. I mean, they have the ability to just pour points in. But probably the most critical thing to their entire season, and especially these next four games, is just going to be developing some consistency and not having lulls to where, you know, they have to come back from down to points or where they give back a lot of those spurts on offense, because – we know that's not a remedy to win championships or even an SEC regular season championship. They got to tighten it up and limit those poor stretches.
Drew, if we really want to get down into the statistics, I believe Kentucky is 3-0 when John Calipari wears a suit. Yes or no, do you like the coaches wearing suits? I know Chin Coleman's a big yes. What do you think?
I'm totally back on the suit vibe. At first, I was a big proponent of it's silly that they're wearing suits. But then I forget which – oh, so it was the Tubby game. So High Point, you know, he wore a suit, and that kind of made the joke that the game felt a lot bigger than it was because Cal was dressed so nice again. And then I know he made the comment about, you know, Brad buying some suits, so they're back in suits. And I like it. I do. I think it gives a little bigger feel to the game, especially in these conference games, you know, because I like thinking about him coaching against his buddy Rick Barnes, and I just kind of envision them on the sideline in suits. So not that it bothers me if they're not, but I'm on board with especially we have some very well-dressed coaches. We might have the best dressed coaches in the country, really. We got some some swaggy guys on the bench this year.
You know, that just shows my age. I mean, I go back to where Joe Hall was wearing a three-piece suit. Rupp always wore a suit, but I never covered a game that where he coached. Joe B., at times when it was stylish, was wearing a three-piece suit. And you can see the old photos out there. I go back to when it was unusual if a coach didn't wear a suit. You know who didn't wear a suit and was known for that? Bob Knight. Bob Knight was a guy who kind of broke away from that and always wore that red sweater. And more guys now, you know. So now it's funny you guys are talking, Drew, about how unusual it is for them to wear a suit. So I think it's just a pendulum swinging, don't you?
Anything Indiana, I'm totally shifted stances now. You know, I'm the biggest Indiana hater, so you're right. Bob Knight kind of, you know, transitioned into the sweater and all that. So I'm firmly on board with suits now. I support nothing Indiana Hoosiers.
I don't know what they're wearing now up there. And you sort of let Huggins slip out. He's been the king of the track suit, hasn't he? Wearing the track suit.
Yeah, I was giving him a lot of grief last night. I woke up to several direct messages from mad West Virginia fans just because I can't help every night when Oscar just explodes for a game. And then, again, after the game, he's just so gracious and you fall in love with him. So I can never help but poke fun at Bob Huggins for those foolish comments about, yeah, you know, implying that he wasn't working hard there and stuff like that. I can just never – that's just such low-hanging fruit after Oscar has a big game.
That's true.
Yeah, what do you think that was? You think he was just frustrated, maybe didn't know what to say when it came to him moving? Or maybe it was, you know, Oscar wasn't completely motivated at West Virginia. I look back at that comment that you just mentioned, Drew, and it's just one of the most puzzling things I've heard.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, coaches have to talk all the time, and it's easy for me to, because I ultimately hadn't even read through the entire context. And I'm sure there's a bit of bitterness there no matter what, even if he wishes Oscar the best, but I mean, we're talking about now, guys. Like, I mean, he's having a bona fide National Player of the Year resume right now. And we all know that's big time predicated on winning. So, you know, if Kentucky was to come out of this next 2 weeks 4-0, I mean, they should start putting some banners up, putting some social media campaigns going, because if Kentucky can, you know, win the SEC regular season championship, make a deep tournament run, and he's putting up numbers like this, I mean, just it's unheard of. So no idea what he was thinking on that.
Well, from what I understand, there were, if you will, outside influences at work up at West Virginia, that it wasn't entirely Oscar's total plan to go there and things like that, and, you know, complaints. They weren't just Oscar complaining about how he was being used. And I do think, to your point, I think that there was just a lot of frustration for Huggins. But he had to know that going in, I would think. But maybe things just piled up. Who knows? But, of course, Huggins has categorically denied saying what he said. But just, you know, don't even go there, you know. If a kid leaves, wish him well. And, you know, you and Calipari are friends, just move on. Speaking of moving on, let's just talk briefly, Drew, about Kentucky football. I know you're more about basketball, but you do cover football as well. Everybody, it seems, coming back, not everybody, but so many players. John Clay had a great lead on his column today. Used to be tough to get people to come here. Now it's tough to get people to leave. What do you make of all these guys who say, you know, I'm not done yet, I want to stay?
It's fun getting rings. It's the environments they've played in. I know I've been in several of the big games. And I think, you know, when you're really looking at it, I'm not calling any – Kentucky has some very, you know, highly touted recruits, especially as of late. But a lot of the players, you know, we were selling, come play in the SEC. You know, this is the best conference. We're going to have a chance to compete. So especially a lot of these, like, you know, fourth-year and super senior guys, I'm sure, you know, they want to give Georgia all they can handle next year, and it has to be fun. And you're right, that speaks to a lot to Mark Stoops and his staff, because, you know, he's a hard-nosed guy, but at the same time, you know, he clearly, his guys love him, and they want to come back and play for him. And you know as well, it's big in the circle of recruiting. You know, guys talk to guys and they're telling them where to come, and Kentucky's just been raking up in the transfer portal as well. So I think it just kind of speaks to the culture of the program, and the fans want to be around it, the players want to be around it. And next year it is, I mean, it's shaping up to be, you know, really special if they can kind of maybe fill a few voids and have a good spring, and it's exciting.
Some more news on the football front is Mark Stoops has hired his brother, Mike Stoops, to replace John Summerall and coach linebackers. Drew, if you were a head coach, would it be tough to fire your brother or sister? I mean, I would do the same. I would love to have my family on board on the staff, especially if they did their job well. But I think it would be tough to actually fire my brother or sister if it came down to it.
You know, now that I think about it, it might be tougher to fire you know, a non-blood relative that you really care about and that you brought on your staff. So that would have to be hard either way. And I know those are never easy decisions to make. And we see, we've seen from a program down the road what kind of turmoil that can cause. So I think it would be very difficult to fire your brother, but I think anybody you care about would be tough. At least with your brother, you'd kind of be able to check in and know you got him and all that. But I guess you run that risk by hiring family.
Back in the day, Bill Curry had to fire a close friend of his, a guy he had named his defensive coordinator when he got here, because his D coordinator from Alabama was basically being paid to not coach for a year down in Alabama. So he made his linebackers coach his DC, and it didn't work, brother. And he had to fire him in the middle of the season, so that wasn't easy. So, you know, you make a good point. But at least you know that this particular Stoops brother has the same pedigree, right? And I think we've learned that means a lot with the Stoops family.
College football especially, you know, it's not like college basketball where there's teams coming out of nowhere making a Final Four run, right? I mean, it's pretty much the top tier teams. You have a Cincinnati, you know, Boise State was good for all that time, but for the most part, the top dogs eat. So yeah, it makes sense. Bring some guys in that have been there before, they know how to do it, because heck, that's the ultimate plan, right? I think everybody now has got the game circle for Georgia's coming to Lexington next season. And, you know, it's every single year. That's what the measuring stick is now. And so, yeah, I think you're right. I think and then, too, going back to what you mentioned about the guys coming back, that's such a culture thing. They've been there. They've done that. That tremendously helped in the Citrus Bowl. I think the guys having, you know, been to one before, been to several bowls in between, experience goes a long way in football.
And just like a minute left here, Drew, but I want to ask, Wandale Robinson declaring for the draft, is he a first-round pick?
Ooh, I don't even – man, I'm not good enough with the NFL draft to know. I know a lot of the stuff. I'm anxious to see – maybe I'll indirectly answer that, but I'm anxious to see kind of the numbers and stuff that he runs, because, you know, I think the only score was like 8 touchdowns on the season, and some maybe attribute that to his you know, he doesn't have like extreme NFL breakout speed, but I was on field level, and I'd beg to differ on that. And we know when that kid puts his foot in the ground and wants to change direction, I don't think there's a statistic for that, but he's got to be one of the best in the world. He's extremely elusive. And I talk about, too, and I've mentioned this several times about Wandell, is the fact that he doesn't break easily. I mean, Kentucky just chose to throw him the ball, you know, so many times, and, you know, just basically handing it off to him, essentially how they were using him sometimes. And he could take the hits and, you know, quantity of receptions. So I sure hope so, but I guess I'll have to dig into that a little more as spring rolls around.
I think it's going to depend on two things. You know, will he be a return man? He wasn't crazy about it here. But the other thing, too, is we all know it's going to be the combines. Doesn't matter what the eyeballs have shown us, it's all about the combines. But I think he'll be a fine combine athlete, no question about that. Big Blue Drew Brown joins us each week. Thank you, sir. See you at Rupp Arena.
Bye-bye.
And we will be back and wrap things up in just a minute here on the statewide edition of the BBI.
iHeartRadio Earth is here with little tips for a healthier planet. It sure feels good to step into a warm car after letting it heat up for a few minutes. However, this practice wastes gas, increases emissions, and pollutes the air. Limit idling your car to no more than 3 minutes to save money at the gas station and improve air quality. brought to you by iHeartRadio Earth and the National Environmental Education Foundation. To find more tips for smarter, sustainable living, or to take action in your own community, go to iHeartRadio.com/earth.
As a nurse in an emergency department, no one knows better than me that car crashes happen. But what I don't understand are injuries and deaths that are 100% preventable. Like the injuries caused by folks who won't buckle up their seatbelts, or crashes caused by those who won't stop messing with their phones. So please, be safe, Kentucky. Buckle up and put the phone down.
Paid with funds through the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety.
Are you 55 or older and haven't had a colonoscopy? Join a colon cancer screening study and you could earn up to $575.
I'll screen.
It's a study for a non-invasive way to screen for colon cancer from home. By joining, you can help advance the science of screening.
I'll screen too.
You'll just need to provide a stool sample and a colonoscopy will be done through your own insurance. Enroll now and screen to help create a better future for all.
I'll screen.
I'll screen.
Let's all screen for colon cancer.
Visit screeningstudy.com to sign up or learn more. That's screeningstudy.com.
Hi, I'm Taylor Sears with Silent Guard Security. We're a local family-owned business that specializes in alarm systems, video surveillance, access control, and fire systems in homes and businesses across Kentucky since 1994. We pride ourselves in state-of-the-art technology and taking care of our customers, and for that reason, we've partnered with the team at 46 Solutions. Over the last couple years, we've grown from 17 employees to 43 now, and our IT needs have drastically changed. The team at 46 Solutions manages our network. They manage all of our devices and offer phone support as we need it. They've also converted our conference room into a smart conference room so that we can be much more efficient when we're working in there. Our partnership with 46 Solutions means that we've got a network that doesn't fail and a phone system that works when we need it so that we can take care of our customers and do what we're good at. Call the team at 46 Solutions today for a free consultation. You can reach them at 859-788-4600. 859-788-4600.
Switch to Spectrum Mobile and get unlimited data for only $29.99 per month each when you get two or more lines. You could save hundreds on your mobile bill. Plus, there are no added taxes, hidden fees, and no contracts. Try the Spectrum Mobile Savings Calculator today, and in three easy steps, you'll see how much you could save. Visit SpectrumMobile.com/save. Offer valid for new customers on two or more unlimited lines. Spectrum Internet required. Restrictions apply. Visit SpectrumMobile.com for details.
Thanks again to both of our guests tonight, Big Blue Drew and Derek Terry. Just a few seconds left. Billy, since you and I talked last, Georgia wins the national title, had all the answers for Alabama, even though Bama got a cheap touchdown. Will one of these teams win it next year? Will they repeat?
Oh, I hope not. let's get some new teams in there. Let's hope Alabama doesn't make the championship again.
Yeah, well, Georgia might as well, but it just means more, Billy. It's the SEC.
It means more.
Thanks to all of you. That's it. Good night from Lexington.
You've been listening to Big Blue Insider, presented by the Cat's Paws. Big Blue Insider was brought to you by Kentucky Utilities, UK Healthcare, Prairie Farms, Barney Miller's, Mingy Beef Jerky, Boone's Butcher Shop, Northside RV, and by John's Run Walk Shop.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.